Greetings, everyone. Welcome to this evening. We're going to be talking about one of the most talked about, one of the most taught messages probably in the church. It's all about grace and salvation, or the grace of salvation. And when we come to church, I mean, the first thing that enters our mind is we're here because we want to learn the Word of God. And what we're really saying is we want to know more about who we are and what we're about. Salvation is the explanation to why we're here, who we are. It's the fundamentals. It's the foundation for everything else we're going to learn. So it's really important to get this right. And there's a lot of questions, as much as ministers, teachers, preachers, evangelists, prophets teach about salvation. Sometimes there are so many questions swirling around. I mean, am I saved? How do I know I'm saved? Is it difficult or easier? I mean, this seems to be so hard. How can I overcome? So many questions, and we're going to address those, and by the Word of God, we're going to answer those. And tonight, I have my lovely daughter here with me, Lene, and we're going to be talking about that very thing, the power of salvation, the foundation for everything else in the Scriptures. And I'm going to say it like this: you get this right, you can get everything else right. You lay a weak foundation of salvation, meaning it's not really what the Word says. It's kind of what sometimes tradition
is. Man-made a little bit.
Yeah, man-made a lot sometimes. And you then everything else, it's kind of like when you build a foundation, if it's a little bit crooked, the rest of the house is going to be built. You're constantly trying to make adjustments because the foundation is not level. So we're going to level the foundation tonight by the Word of God. And Lene, do you have a scripture that you'd like to open with?
I do. On talking about salvation and grace, I thought that Galatians 2:20 would be a perfect one. And it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me."
That scripture right there could be the entire teaching of tonight, because it covers a lot of ground, a lot of territory. So, I mean, to me, one of the things is it's no longer I that lives. I've laid my life down. And then the question, this would be the question, how do you do that? I mean, how do you lay your life down? And for me, the answer is real simple. I live through Christ. And what that means is I'm literally living through what he did. That's how my mind thinks. That's what I begin to take on. That's the thought process, to say it in the simplest format. It's my thought process is what he did, that's me. Mm-hmm. And that's where I begin to think and begin to believe. So, I mean, tell me what you...
I think we look a lot of the times at our own works, and I don't think I can do this. I'm not confident that I can live righteously, yeah, or that I can walk as Christ walked. But if we lay down our life and we say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by faith of the Son of God, you know he's inside of you. He's a part of you. So that's naturally going to be who you are. That's the one of the lies is, oh, no, you can't do that. It's so hard. You're going to live in sin. That's not what the Word says at all. The Word says when I'm made new in Christ, the old me is gone, and the new me is who Christ was.
Yeah, and that's it. And this is where the battle comes in. People will say, I'm born again, and then they oppose themselves by saying what you just said. It's no longer I that lives. They can quote that scripture, but it's Christ that lives in me. And then they oppose themselves by saying, but it's so hard. Well, Christ did the work. Christ presented his body. He did the work. So first mistake where people begin to make that foundation or lay that foundation unlevel is they'll say one thing and then they will oppose themselves with the next sentence or the next time they go through a trying time. Well, it's hard or it's difficult. And that's where the problem comes in. It's not a devil trying to stop you. It's not because someone is making your life so hard. It's that we oppose ourselves. And the greatest opposer, the greatest opposition to salvation is contradiction. You know, we say it's Christ, and then we say, but it's hard for me. And that's what that scripture says to me. It's hard. Wait a minute. Who am I believing in? Your greatest enemy is doubt. Yeah. The greatest enemy is doubting what you just said, you believe. Paul called it a double mind. But where do you, how do you lay, what helps you to lay to keep that foundation straight?
Staying in the Word. Staying, making sure that I'm spending time with the Lord every day so that I'm, the Word is the best gift that we have. But it's also written on our hearts. So you stay in the Word every day and you seek God and you have a relationship with Him. It's not hard then. Now, if you're not living that and you try to wake up one day and make it sound like, oh, yes, I live this day, I live this way, but you kind of don't really. You're not in the Word. You're not spending time with the Lord. Then it is going to be hard because you don't really know Him like you should. But staying in the Word and knowing what it says and meditating on it, it changes everything.
And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And that's it. So often people can tend to get up and go on about their life and say, I'll pray or I'll get in the Word later tonight. But a foundation, I know for you and I, we both do the same thing, is the Word. In the morning, I want to hear what God's saying. Just put your mind there. You give God first place. Salvation, living, saved. I mean, every day I wake up and I think, God, I'm so thankful that you saved me. And the Word says it's not by works, at least any man should boast, but it is the gift of God. Let me read a scripture here. And this, if anyone has tuned into this ministry on occasion, you've probably heard me read this scripture. And it's from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And it's Paul talking. And Paul says, I appeal to you. And he's saying, please get this. I mean, this is really important. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then this really nails it, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And we talk about being worshipers. And I would say this, if we worship God, we are overcomers. But look at what Paul calls worship. Look at what he calls worship. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That takes that hard, this is hard, this is difficult out of the way. And just before he says this, he says, I appeal to you by the mercies of God that you present yourselves. And it's really our presentation. It is the consciousness that is either defiled or scarred that fights against us, or it's that healed consciousness, that healed mind that says, that is not who I am, and it's not even who I was anymore. And that's what salvation is all about. Salvation is more than forgiveness. And everyone wants forgiveness, and we need, thank God for forgiveness. But to be really thankful for what salvation is, and not just what it forgives us for. So that's the beginning. It's like getting a call. You know, whatever your profession is, and someone calls you an anxiously awaited call. You're hoping you get the position, and there's maybe several others in line for it, and you get that call. They tell you, you got the position. You're in. What would happen if they hung up the phone and said, I've got the position, I'm in, but never showed up? And that's the same thing with salvation. I'm forgiven, but we never show up sometimes for what salvation really is. And what is that? I get to make a presentation before the Father that I am a living sacrifice and I am made holy and acceptable to God. And when we do that, Paul says, this is your worship. True worship is saying, I'm acceptable to you. I can thank you. I can praise you. I can tell you how much I love you. And I can talk about how transformed I am, instead of contradicting myself. So in short, Paul says, when you present yourself, instead of I'm just a sinner saved by grace, well, that's really a contradiction.
Very much so. Salvation is so much more than just forgiveness. It's a new life. It's keys to a new life.
Exactly. So I'm a sinner saved by grace. No, You were.
You were a sinner. You're not now, because it's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. And he made it so easy for us. All we have to do is love him and obey his word, and he does the rest through us. It's harder to serve sin. People say, oh, it's hard to not sin. No, it's hard to serve sin. We get into a habit and we believe these things that we hear sometimes in church, unfortunately. You know, you're going to sin every day. And sorry, buddy, but you're just one big sinner. But I thought that I wasn't supposed to sin anymore. The word even says, be perfect, for your Father is perfect. And if he's in me and he's my Father, which he is, then I'm not living in that life of sin. I put that away. I said, no, I don't like this. This is wrong. This is not who God created me to be. But this is, so I'm going to do this over here and leave that behind. And what a gift that is. It's freedom. It's a matter of feeding your soul or letting it starve. It's absolutely everything.
Yes and amen. and that's it. It's hard. It's hard. And it's really an excuse. I mean, if you laying your life down is coming before God saying, listen, how I live from this way forward, it's not my will. That's what Jesus prayed. His prayer in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. And that's where the victory took place. Yeah. And what you're saying, that's the victory. It is difficult to serve sin because sin tempts you. And
then it punishes you.
Then it punishes you. And then you have to deal with not only the emptiness of being obedient to sin, which really is not our true nature.
No.
And that's where that no one is perfect comes in. Of course, within an individual self, no one is perfect. No flesh
right.
is justified. Mm-hmm. But through Christ, and that's what the word's saying, it is no longer I. And so how does that even happen? What is it talking about? It's no longer I. I showed up. Here I am. What do you mean it's no longer I? And it's really talking about the transformation of our mind, how we think, about who we are, what you're saying, you know, how do we get there? Open the word in the morning, every morning. I love to open the word. And that is the gun at the starting line. This is how I begin. This is how I'm going to think. In the Genesis of time, in the beginning, God told us, humanity, he said, I want you to take dominion over the earth. Take dominion. And how do we do that? By believing what I've told you is true, and anything that contradicts it, anything that opposes it, is not true. It's a lie. So simply don't live in a lie, and you won't live in sin.
Yeah.
That's why the word says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. From what? From me. Not the me I was intended to be, but the me I was deceived in becoming. And so when Christ delivers us, when we're free from the bondage of sin, bondage meaning I was a servant to sin, and then the word says, just like you were a servant to sin and you practice sin because that's who you were in bondage to, now you are captured in Christ and by Christ, and now you've become a servant to righteousness.
Which is so much better.
Is it hard? I mean, have you ever been tempted to sin?
Yeah.
Everyone, Jesus, the word says, he was tempted in all such manner as we are, yet.
It doesn't, you can be tempted without wanting to do something, I don't know if that makes any sense, but you go, it's as simple as saying, okay, that might be tempting, but I believe God. I might have an opportunity to get very angry and lose my temper about something, but I believe God.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of believing God, and everything is so much easier.
It's the foundation for everything, how you approach what salvation is. A lot of the idea is we look at us, well, no one's perfect, and we've dealt with that quite a bit. Meaning, I've taught a lot about that. No one's perfect. We're all sinners saved by grace. Well, you're one or the other. You can't be both. The word says no impure, no sinner will inherit the kingdom of God. But we know all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're not saying we're perfect in who we are.
No, certainly not.
We're laying our life down, right? Yes. Saying, it's not me. And that's what faith is. Salvation really is about adopting a different way of thinking about who you are, mm-hmm. why you are, and what you are. And the word says, of him, through him, and to him is who I am. That's what everything is. And salvation, in short, is teaching us how to think correctly, adopting the attitude and the mind that we were created in the genesis of time for. And that's how you take dominion over your body. All have been tempted. Everyone has been tempted. And I say it like this. Temptation can be like someone saying, run your head into a brick wall. Well, that's a temptation. But it's not a craving desire on the inside of you for you to run your head into a brick wall because someone said to do it. Same thing with the flesh. The flesh tempts you, but you look at it through the Word of God and say, that's foolishness. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you might be tempted, but it's not an overcoming desire. It's not a desire at all. And that's what salvation really does, because there is being forgiven, and then there's being transformed and being born again. And that's the point. It's just like, again, getting that call that says you got the position that you really wanted, and you're just so excited. And that's how people are sometimes about being saved. My sins are forgiven. I'm good. He's got me covered. All is well. And he does. But now we have to adopt the attitude of the mind of Christ, the Spirit. And that's what Paul is talking about. He says, and don't be conformed to this world. And that is the easiest thing in the world, because we're not created to be conformed to the world.
No. When you see the other side, it's not even, that's not tempting at all. That's not somewhere you want to go or would want to experience going, I'm living in this life of peace, the true life that God has called me to. Why would I go and do that? No, I'm going to bring you over here instead and bring others to this side and let them see how much better it is.
How much better it is. I mean, at any given point in time, God speaks to you. How does he do that? People say, well, how do you hear the voice of God? Again, start with the Word of God. And I say this all the time. You say it all the time. Let your ear hear your mouth say it. With the heart, man believes unto God. And with the mouth, the Word says, confession is made unto salvation. Let your ear hear your mouth say something different. Instead of, it's hard, let your ear hear your mouth say, it can't be hard. Jesus said it like this. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, learn about me. I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find it easy. You'll find rest to your soul. And it really is taking all the religious mumbo-jumbo, all the rhetoric out of religion, and believe in the pure Word of God. God's Word is pure. The Word says it's like silver put in a furnace and refined 7 times. It's salvation is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. And let me finish off here. Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable God to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then he says, don't be conformed to this world. And we do that through tradition. If someone tells you you're only human, say, that's not true. I'm way more spirit than I am human. And the human people are referring to oftentimes is that sinner, negative part that just finds it hard to obey God. But our original design, our original purpose and creation was to walk in the image and the likeness of God. And the Word says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And this is something God just changed my life with. If it's not by works that I'm born again, then that means I don't have to work hard on either side. In other words, if it's not by my works, I can't fail being saved. I can't say that I'm more saved than I was before because I'm working harder, because the Word just told me that it's not by works. So if it's not by works, it can't be hard. If it's not by works, it can't be difficult. If it's a gift of God, it means we do one thing. We accept it for who it is. And salvation is Jesus Christ. Being obedient to God, walking in truth and righteousness, is as simple as doing what the Word says, believing he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And then something incredible happens when you unadopt all those attitudes and ideas of religion, and you say, you know what? It's not hard to serve God because I'm not living the life of a Christian. Christ is living his life through me. Mm-hmm. And what I'm living now, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Mm-hmm. His faith has become my faith.
Yeah.
The way he thinks has become the way I think. Mm-hmm. And it's the mind, the consciousness of the mind. We're going to talk about that in the next one, how it affects our mind and how to be transformed in your mind so it is easy. You can say, man, because a lot of people may be listening tonight and saying, well, you live in a different world than I do. No, same world, same opportunities, different consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that's what we can take on. That's the gift of God.
Yeah, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, I strongly, strongly encourage you to ask for him to fill you. It changes the way that you hear and understand everything in the world and the word. Everything.
It is everything. Jesus said you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And he says if you want the Spirit, ask. So I'm going to pray with our viewers right now. Let's pray with everyone. And what I'm going to ask is that God would fill your mind and change your mind. Fill your mind with his word. Fill your mind with his Spirit. But not just the word that you read off the page, but the Holy Spirit, the scriptures teach us, it quickens our minds. What does that mean? It says this is true. This is you. And when we are convinced, this is the word of God, when your mind, and that's what it means to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, it begins to take on a different attitude. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may test and that you may discern the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's who you are. That's who you're called to be. That's God's gift to you through Christ. You're not the same. And when you're not the same, you take on an attitude, a character, a personality, a vision, a reality that transforms everything around you. And things do begin to, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good because you've loved him and you become the called and the chosen according to his purpose. And Father, I just pray that you'd open the hearts and the minds of your people tonight. God, we pray for a transformation, a renewing. I pray for the revelation of salvation to become so vivid, so strong, so overwhelming that your people are transformed into the image and the likeness of your will and your purpose. I pray for rest for all those that are struggling and contending tonight, that you find the ease of the salvation of God, that gift of God, the mercy of God, the grace of Jesus Christ. I pray for transformation. Pray with me right now and say, Jesus, you're Lord and Savior of my life. You not only forgive me, you've changed me. I'm new through you. I can do everything I'm created to do, and I can walk in your absolute favor and your perfect will. I receive that as my now and forever in Jesus' name. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your power. That I may bear witness to who you are within me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. I love this subject. I think I could talk about all day and night because there's so many incredible levels to it, but we're going to talk about it again. I'd like you to join me. Let's do another evening and talk about the change and the transformation, what God's done, what God's doing. So next time. And until next time, and at this point in time, the offering altar is open. Your support means a great deal to us. It really helps us in doing what we're doing and what we do and what we are going to be able to do. But it also empowers you because when you sow a seed in the soil of the word, that seed becomes greater than your sowing. It's like a seed sown in the ground. It turns into so much more. God encourage you. God bless you. God increase you. And may you see the goodness and the favor and the blessing of the Lord in all you say and all you do. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Until next time, God bless. See you then.